And I've preached this a lot in my lifetime. In fact, there's one young preacher in this district, well, he's almost 40 now, but every time he's, not every time, but oftentimes he's talking about things I've preached. He remembers me preaching this, because I was on it a lot there for a while. And it'd come up fairly often. And still does. Because this is a mandate from the Bible, from God, through the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. And if it's to the church at Rome, it's still good for us today. It's in the Bible. It's part of what they chose to be our Bible. So it's important to us that we read this. So Romans, the 12th chapter, the first and second verse. We'll probably only highlight the first verse this morning and maybe go to the second verse next week. But the first verse this morning is our main theme and focus. And it goes like this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, this morning, once again, we stand behind this sacred desk. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive what the Spirit would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about this just a little while today. Every believer should be devoted to God. Would you agree? Every believer should be devoted to God. He has and is what we should be dedicated to. He's God. So our lives should be dedicated to worship and service of Him and Him alone. Now, I know it's difficult to comprehend because we have so many things that's pulling at us. We have life to live, after all, and we all do live life. But even in your life that you live, it should be doing something. Your life, your everyday mundane life should be to glorify God. At your job, wherever you're doing, it should be glorifying God. He should be first and foremost. And anything less than total devotion to God is sin. Wait a minute. I don't like that. I don't like the word sin to start with, preacher. And how dare you say that if I'm not totally devoted to God, I'm sinning. Well, I really believe that today. If the Bible says to present your body a living sacrifice, holy to God, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and you don't do it, then there must be some sin involved somewhere. Whether you're doing anything bad or not, you're not presenting your body to God in the way that God expects it. So that makes it a sin. Will you always measure up? Let me assure you that no, you won't. Does that mean that God's angry at you? No. What does the psalm say? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So His goodness and His mercy follows you. And so when you do make mistakes and you do fail God or you do disappoint God, God's not going to automatically reject you. He's going to instead help you to fulfill His requirements. You understand that, to church today? God wants you to succeed. He wants you to be that reason, to give your reasonable service and to be that person that is totally devoted to Him, and He helps you do that. We need to understand that. God's not an angry God. He gets angry at sin. He's done some things that seem really bad to us at times. He's killed people and he's destroyed things. But yet God always gives warning and opportunity for repentance. He always does. And He's given us opportunity now. We've been in this dispensation of grace for over 2,000 years. Why is it? Because God has given every man the opportunity to repent. The opportunity to turn to Him. And He's given you the opportunity in 2015 to once again rededicate your life to Him. And that's what we need to do. So we're looking at this today. So Scriptures totally urge devotion. They urge total devotion to Him. All through the Scripture, you'll find out, no matter who it is, whether it was Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, whether it was King Saul or David, whether it was Daniel or the three Hebrew children, no matter who it was, maybe even Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar, he always demanded total devotion. Did they always give it? Absolutely not. But he demanded total devotion. And when you've seen those men and women of God give God total devotion, no matter what their what life held for them, no matter what destruction they faced, no matter what obstacle they had to overcome, God was there to help them overcome that obstacle every single time. So God wants us to be committed, as committed to him as he is to us. He's very committed to us, and we need to be just as committed. We see that there's a commitment. It's urged in the Bible. Therefore, that word therefore launches a new subject for us to discuss. The world desperately needs to get right with God. Would you agree that the world needs to get right with God? Absolutely. Would you agree with me also that maybe there's some within the church that needs to get right with God? To get absolutely right with God? Sure, there's going to always be somebody that needs to get absolutely right with God. There's going to be somebody letting down. Somebody that needs to pick up their cross and follow him. Jesus said you had to take up the cross. It's a tough cross to bear sometime, but it's a worthy cause. And the price you pay is worth paying for the results of carrying that cross. So it's very worthwhile. The way for the world to get right with God is clearly revealed through his son, Jesus Christ. There's no way to come to the Father except through his son, Jesus Christ. You can't get saved outside of Jesus. You can't go to heaven outside of Jesus. You can't. You can't be right with God unless you have Jesus involved in the situation. There's a whole group of people out there that says you can, but the Word of God says you can't. I choose to believe God's Word. That there's a whole group of people, a whole lot of people, who need to get right with God. And we need to be an example to them as how to get right with God. And then, that's through Christ Jesus, through justification. That's forgiveness of sins. Jesus has justified us. He counts our faith as righteousness. Do you understand that? You put faith in Jesus, you repent of your sins, and he counts that faith as righteousness. We are now the righteousness. Think about this. You are the righteousness of God because of Jesus Christ. Not of your works, not of anything you've done other than repent of your sin. You are the righteousness of God because of his work on the cross of Calvary. Because he died for us. That's why you are justified. That is why you are righteous today, is only because of Jesus. So after you become a Christian, you need to be sanctified. Sanctification is a simple word that means to be set apart. To be set apart just simply means that you are free from sin, to life eternal, and to serve Jesus. You've been set apart. You've come out from the world. You've been set apart. You're no longer of the world. You're just in the world for a brief moment of time. And you've been set apart in the world, sanctified by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, to serve God. You're all here to serve God. You're not here just to live life. You're here to serve God. And no matter what your course of life has taken, no matter where it's been, what you're doing, where you work, whatever it is you do, you're still here to serve God first and foremost. That doesn't discount the importance of family, doesn't discount the importance of work or anything else that you do, but first and foremost, everything you do should be lined up and aligned with serving God. It's hard. It's difficult to take that sometime. It's difficult to do that sometime, but it is. And so we've been sanctified, set apart, free from sin to serve Jesus. And now we are, as the church, God's choice to carry the gospel. The church. A group of people like you and me have been chosen throughout the ages to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our job. To present the good news. Jesus saves. He still saves today. Still lives being transformed and changed. So you see, we have a glorious message of how God loves us and what God has done for us. You all have your individual messages of what God has done for you, how that God has saved you, how that God has met your needs, how that God's always been there for you. Nobody can take away your testimony because you know what God's done for you. And so anyway, we know that the mercies of God are overflowing, aren't they? they're overflowing. Man, they're beyond anything a person could ask for, could desire. Man, just think about what God has done. He's such a good God. I love Him so much, don't you? I like to just pray and just tell Him how much I love Him. Lord, I just love You. And it humbles me to think that God loved me. That God loved me as much as He loved you. He loves us all. He wants all men to be saved. And He loves us. So what has He done for us? First off, He met our desperate need to get right with Him. If Jesus hadn't bridged that gap, if Jesus hadn't come, we couldn't get right with God. We have no way to do it. But God sent forth His Son. He sent Him forth. When the fullness of time had come, the Bible says God sent forth His Son. When the time was exactly right, God said, Jesus, go to earth. Become that sacrifice so that I can reconcile all men with Myself. So that they can come back to Me. So that I can save them. So He has met our need to get right with Him. God has provided the power to be set free from the terrible bondages of this life and for us to live eternally. He has provided that way for us to get free from any bondage. I read an article this week, and this has nothing to do with my sermon, but I just want to share it with you. And it says a little short article. God never called us to pray for the sick. You say, what? You know what He did? He said, what did Jesus tell the disciples when He sent them forth two by two? 70 of them sent them forth. He said, go tell people that the kingdom of God has come and heal the sick and cast out demons. In other words, declare the power of God. And then if they will believe the power of God is available to them, they'll be healed. I read the article and thought, wait a minute. Yes, He says, call for the elders a church. Adorn them with oil. Pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if they commit any sin, they shall be forgiven them. Yes, that's a way, some ways to do it. But basically what the article was saying, the power of God is within the people of God because we are of the kingdom of God, and because we are of the kingdom of God, we have the power to heal the sick. It's not our power, it's His power working through us. But the people must receive it. That's why He says, He told us to go, when you pray for people, if they got something wrong with their back, tell them to bend over. Tell them to touch their toes. Tell them to do it till they receive from God. I haven't been so bold to do that, but maybe I should. Maybe that's why some people don't get healed. We don't declare what the Word says and then expect them to move in the Word. But anyway, we're going to move on from that. I thought that was neat, though. The kingdom of God. We're part of the kingdom of God, church. And so we've been delivered from bondages, and we can live eternally. And so we have a glorious purpose to life, and that is to proclaim the good news of Jesus and how to be set free from sin, death, and to live eternally. But in the process, we can be healed, too, while we're here. We've proclaimed healing to people before, and they've received their healing. We've had people healed of heart disease and all kinds of things. I can't remember all of them. I wish people would write me. I wish I'd write things down. Some of it's documented through the doctors. That's the good stuff. It's not just them saying it. It's the doctor said this was what was going on, and now this is what's happening, and I don't understand it. But anyway, that's part of what we have to share with people. But in light of the mercies of God and all that God's done for us, and we must devote ourselves to God. We must dedicate and commit ourselves to Him. We must accept and share the gracious, extravagant, divine grace of God. We're a part of that. We've shared that. We need to share it with others. The extravagant, divine grace of God. God's been just extravagant with us, hasn't He? Amen, He has. So, there's a word. See, that word was, we talked about a commitment there. There's a word, beseech. I beseech you. Even in the New King James, they have that word. I don't know about some of the other versions, but the New King James and the King James, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So that word beseech, it means to implore. It means to urge, to beg. I beg you. I urge you. I call you alongside to help me. I urge you to devote yourself to God. I beseech, I urge you, I beg you, I implore you. devote yourself to God. That's the heart's cry of this pulpit today, is that you, as the laity of this church and as leaders of this church, that you would present your body to God. I urge you today. I beg you. Give yourself to God and see what God might do for you. It's not being said to the world today. I'm not talking to the world today. I'm talking to the church. Church, present yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to Him. It's directed to us, the brothers and sisters in Christ. We urge you, we beseech you to give all your devotion, all you can, to God. And let me just throw a side note here. You can do that and still live your life. You can do that and still have family. You can do that and still go to work tomorrow morning. School. Would you like me to tell you today, Madison, if you'll just give yourself to God, you can quit school and just serve God. I won't tell you that because that's not true. You serve God wherever you're at in that time of your life. You serve God. You put Him first. You let Him know He's first in your life. And you serve Him. You see, many people are kind of afraid to dedicate their life to God, their body. They don't want to present their body to God. Whoa, wait a minute. It's my body. It's my life. I'll do what I want. No, it's His body that He's given you to serve Him in. You're made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Well, the body is what you see. The soul is what belongs to God, and the spirit will return to God one day when you die. But that soul lives on. It lives on. And He wants you to present yourself to Him, not just your soul, not just your inner man, but your whole, complete man to Him. It's important that you do that. We cannot, the importance of the human body cannot be overstated. It's one of the most abused things in our society is the human body. Man abuses it, neglects it, and ignores the body more than any part of his life. Even us Christians, we overeat sometimes. We're too inactive. Sometimes we're too active. We curse, we fight, and we kill. We abuse this body. We need to understand that God says present this body to Him. We take of harmful substances. We care more about the external than we do the internal. We don't get enough rest. Or some get too much. Most of the time we don't get enough. We're too busy. Overindulging. Not taking care of what God has given us to take care of. It's important that we do that. That list could go on and on. We over-medicate. Nothing wrong with medication, but sometimes we over-medicate. We need to take care of this body. It's the only one we have, and God says present it to Him as a living sacrifice. So, first point. All that's just getting ready for my first point. Now you're afraid, aren't you? Lunch is ready, but we can't eat it till we get through with the spiritual breakfast, brunch, whatever you want to call this, or just an old man rambling on. Whatever you want to call it, I really don't care, because it's the Word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Expected service. So, there's three facts we're going to talk about as we present our body a living sacrifice. Number one, God demands the believer's body. God demands it. He's not only interested in your spirit, He is interested in your man, your flesh, into your body. He's interested in that. He is vitally interested in the body. His interest could be made no clearer or stronger than in this one particular passage of Scripture. And all through Scripture, you see that God is interested in our physical being, because it's through our physical being that we serve Him. It takes this spirit man serves God through the physical man. It's not all spiritual. Yes, it's a spiritual thing, but we have a physical body that we live in, that God has given us, and He's put His soul within us and His spirit in us, and He expects us to serve Him with our body. He has placed us on earth to serve Him. His demand for our body cannot be made any clearer. And if we're going to present our body to God, it's not to be made to self. We're living as one wishes or doing as one wants to do. If we present our body, we have to lay aside our wants, our wishes, and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I remember where Jesus went to the garden to pray prior to his death. Knowing that he was going to go to the cross to die for all humanity, he went to the cross and he knelt down and began to pray. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nonetheless, not my will, but see, he was in a flesh body. He knew he was going to suffer things of the flesh. He was willing to do it, but his flesh was saying, this is going to hurt. This is not going to be pleasant. This is going to be something that's going to be difficult for me to stand. But he said, nonetheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If you think he doesn't expect the same thing from us, he's not asking you to go. Probably none of us will ever go to Africa or any place like that and give our lives for the gospel's sake. But he's still asking us to be willing to give ourselves totally and completely to him in any area that he asks us to do it. That's our responsibility. That's his requirements of us. Where it's not to live as we want, not to live as we wish, not to do our own thing. It's not to be made up and just to serve others, living for family, living for our wife, or living for our husband, a child, a parent, a mistress. Whoa, I hope you're not doing that. A companion or sex partner or an employer. No, that's what the world does. But the body of Christ says, Lord, I submit myself therefore unto you. I'm going to serve you. It's important. It's very important. I don't give my body to something like houses and lands and properties, money, cars, possessions, professions, recreation, retirement, and luxury. I give my body to the Lord. And Lord, you use me how you wish to use me. And you bless me how you wish to bless me. There's nothing wrong with some of this stuff. There's nothing wrong with cars and trains and planes and luxury homes if you can afford it. But if that's all you're living for is your pleasure, then you've missed the point of life totally. So now, preacher, you've dedicated yourself to God. And that's all, you know, that's all you do. You read the Bible and you pray and you preach to people and that's your life. And more, you can say that. You've given your life completely to the Lord. And well, I still have family. I still have things I want. I still have things, places I want to go, things I want to see. But I've learned over the last 40 years of serving God, there are times I don't go where I want to go. I don't go see what I want to see. I don't take the vacation I wanted to take. I don't buy the car I wanted to buy. I don't buy the truck I wanted to buy. I do what God leads me to do. And I've learned that if I give up everything on this side of glory, I still have just a few short years to live, and I'll be in eternity with Him, and none of this will even matter anymore. All that will matter is how I served Him. That's all that will matter. I might miss out on a few vacations down here. I may not have all the things and the luxuries that I'd like to have. I may not get everything I want on this side of glory, but I'll have everything I need and more on that side. I already have all I need. I have Jesus. And my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I already have my need met. But I have to be willing to sacrifice for Him. I could give you stories. I could tell you one thing I did one time and how silly it was and how that God chastised me for it and cost me 5 years of ministry. Because I said, Lord, if you'll do a certain thing, I'll go preach. I'll start tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but next week. Next week come along, he did exactly what I asked him to do. Exactly what I asked him to do. And I didn't do my part of the bargain. And it cost me 5 years, 6 years, 6 years working for another man. 6 years of not being in full-time ministry. 6 years of not preparing. I started preparing at that point, but it cost me. I had to go through another time of chastening and some learning and some more preparation to learn that if you make a bargain with God and you say, Lord, I'm going to present my body to you, a living sacrifice, you do it. And it cost me. But looking back on it, it's still been worth it. Because it brought me to the place I'm at now. And I've learned from it. You don't bargain with God. You present your body a living sacrifice. And if he's calling you to do something, you don't let your wife or your children or your pastor or anybody else tell you that's not what God's saying. We got called into the ministry and we decided to start this church. Our pastor pulled us into the office. Well, he didn't pull us. I went to his office and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. This is what God's dealing with me about. This is what I believe I'm going to do. And there wasn't a word of encouragement, hardly. All he looked at me and said, well, Dennis, that all sounds good. Who's going to play your piano? Who's going to do your music? I said, Pastor, my wife's been playing a piano all her life. She does. Well, sir, she's played the organ here for the last 15 years. Well, I didn't know she could play a piano. Well, sir, I guess you missed those times that she had to fill in for the piano player. That's going to be my piano player. And this is what I'm going to do because the Lord has asked me to do it. You know, he did say, well, I can't say nothing against that. Go do it. Go do it. But he didn't believe we'd make it. He didn't believe we could do it. But you see, God did. But I had to be willing to do it. I had to get out of my comfort zone. I mean, I had to get out of my comfort zone. I was happy where I was at. Well, I had been happy where I was at. God had started sort of like an old eagle trying to get her little fledgings, get them out of the nest. God had started working me over and telling me I needed to move and leave and do this, and I was fighting it. But you got to present your body to him. I got to move on. I'm bogging down. A living sacrifice means a constant, continuous sacrifice. Not an occasional dedication of one's body, but an everyday continual sacrifice. You don't just do it today and say, well, okay, I'm off today. I do it today, I'm off tomorrow. In fact, just, it feels so good, I'm just going to stay off till next Sunday. And then that's my way of dedication and sacrifice to God. I'll go to church. Well, you ought to go to church. Everybody ought to go to church. Well, you had. But if that's your only way of dedicating yourself to the Lord, you have missed the point completely. It's a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day, continual sacrifice. Not a 1 day a week, 1 hour a week sacrifice. Oh my God, I went to church for an hour Sunday. Ain't I blessed? God's saying there's more to it than that. What are you doing the rest of the week? Serve me all the time and serve me with gladness and present your body a living sacrifice daily. It's not occasional. It's not just today. You don't take it back into your own hands for tomorrow. It means you dedicate your body to live for God and to keep on living for God. It means you make a living sacrifice of your body wherever the body is at. Whatever you're doing, if you're digging a ditch, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're teaching Sunday school class or teaching a class at school. You're doing it as unto the Lord and you're being an example. You're presenting your body to Him. If you work at Tinker, you're presenting your body to Him no matter what it is you do. It's a living sacrifice right where you're at. It's right now while the body is living. It doesn't mean you're going to die. It means you live for God. Your desire is to live for God. Your will is to live for God. And so you do that every day. You live the best of your ability, a righteous, clean, holy, pure life, a moral life, because you have made up your mind. You're going to present yourself to God a living sacrifice, so you don't deviate from that. You may have letdowns every now and then. You may have a problem that you're dealing with, and sometimes you don't feel quite as spiritual as you do other times. You don't feel quite that God loves you like you would want him to at sometimes, because you know you've let him down. But your mind is made up. Lord, I'm going to pick myself back up. I'm going to repent of my sins. And because you said, if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me my sins. And my mind is made up. I am not going to contaminate myself with sin and corruption of the world. I'm not going to let the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life be my ruling order in my life. I'm going to let the word of God rule me. You make up your mind you're going to do that. And then you stick with it. Even when you fail, you stick with it. You repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I am presenting myself to you. That loving, gracious Father will say, I forgive you. The sweetest words he ever said was, I forgive. And he keeps on saying it. If you'll just, he's full of grace. He's full of mercy. So you may not always satisfy him in that sense, but you made up your mind you're going to do your best to. Do you understand the difference? You're trying to live for him. You're going to live for him. You've dedicated your life to him as he commands. It's a living sacrifice. You give up your ambitions. You give up your desires, and you serve God while you're on the earth. Here a while back, there was a business opportunity come to my wife and I, and we looked at it for a little bit, and we thought about it, and we thought about going into that business. It's just recently, within the last 2 years, and we thought that'd be something good. If we ever retire from the church, we'll have some money for retirement, and we debated about it and talked about it and went and visited with the people about it. And then as we prayed about it, we couldn't get a release to do it because we were aware that it might take off, might cause us to have to miss a Sunday every now and then. And it might come in conflict with our ministry. And so we said, forget it. We can't do that. It was something we thought would be something for our future. Something we could do right now as a part-time deal and prepare us for our future should we ever retire or resign the church. It would be something maybe we could do and have an income. You understand? I don't have a big retirement. You know, I haven't put nothing back. I put everything back into the church over the years. So when I retire, if I ever get to, I got to just live on Social Security like a lot of y'all. Y'all struggling. I don't want to. You understand? But when it was all said and done, I told my wife, we can't do it. It's going to take away from our ministry. It's going to divide our time. It's going to separate us from what's really important, because it would begin to do it right. It would consume our time and take us away from what was eternally important. So you understand. You understand where I'm coming from. You got to present yourself, your ambition, your desire, and serve God while you're on the earth. I trust God to take care of me once I retire, if I ever get to. I trust God to take care of me. Maybe that's foolish to some of you, but I trust God. I'll be all right. I'll make it. Because my God is sufficient. But I've dedicated myself to him, and so should you. You have to. A living sacrifice. You give your work to the proclaiming the love of God and ministering to a world reeling in desperate need. You can do that right on your job. See, most of you are not called to preach. You're not called to pastor. You're not called to any. You're just called to be a good, loyal, dedicated, sold-out Christian. And so if that's the case, you just serve God. You serve God on your job. You serve God at school. You serve God at Walmart. You serve God at Sonic. You serve God wherever you're at. You're serving God. You don't rile up and be ugly at the waiter or waitress, your servers at the restaurants. You can drive ugly if you want to because they don't know you're doing that. I said that because my wife thinks I get this old codger yesterday. Had a handicap sticker. He must have been Carl's age. He passed me on MacArthur Street. I'd got over because he was coming to the construction at Kickapoo, and that old codger passed me. I sped up. But then I backed off and let him get around. I thought, well, I can outrun him, but I better not. That would be ugly. Drive him into those barriers up there. That wouldn't be right, quite right, would it? So I backed off and smiled. So, you old codger. Yeah, it did me. And then I seen that handicap sticker. I said, he got a handicap sticker. He shouldn't be driving like that. I guess a preacher hadn't ought to either, huh? You even have to control yourself when you're driving. Amen. I'm working on it. As a song comes to my mind, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make this moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Amen. Is he still working on you? Every single day, he's working on us. I haven't even got past my first point yet. That's kind of ugly, isn't it? There's two more, and a whole nother verse. Praise God. I got something to I got a series going. Yes! Would you stand? Folks, we must present our body as a living sacrifice. I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. What? Holy, acceptable.